Hi, this is Russ, and we're getting ready to start session 5 for the course Freedom Encounters. We're going to take a look tonight concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is true concerning all kinds of sessions, any kind of session you have, whether it's with somebody through SRA and PD, whether it's a trauma issue, abuse issues, whatever the issues may be. You and I, as believers in Christ, we are operating under the ministry, work, and leadership of the Spirit of God in our lives. And so it's very vital that we understand the work of the Holy Spirit in the context of counseling. Counseling involves evangelism. It involves discipleship. It involves the ministry that Jesus did in opening eyes, in setting captives free, and seeing the oppressed set free. So as we get ready to go through, I want to just ask the Lord to bless us and strengthen us, and for us to acknowledge right now the indwelling of the Spirit of the living God, that we've been born again of the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God has been given as a counselor, comforter, helper. And Father, we just thank you right now, and I ask you to bless everyone who is studying, every one of us right now, as we personally yield to the Spirit of the Lord and acknowledge Him and worship Him and worship you as God. We bless you. We praise you, Lord Jesus, and pray right now for your blessing over this session. Whoever is coming into your counseling sessions, or if you are, again, at an invitation service at a local church, or if you're going to meet somebody, or again, out on the field, it is absolutely imperative that we understand that we must live in and by the supernatural power and presence of the Holy Spirit. He is the operative presence in and through your life, and very vital. Very vital. Jesus, it is said of Him, and He quoted it out of Isaiah Himself, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me." And now notice this. He has anointed me to the mission of preaching good news to the poor, of seeing captives set free, prisoners released, etc., etc., etc. So the ministry of Jesus and the unleashing of the good news of God, of healing, of deliverance, of helping, didn't occur until He was anointed. And we acknowledge this as we see in the beginnings of the gospel. And we see in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, that Jesus, after the temptation, the Spirit of God led Him out into the desert to that temptation, right into the engagement with the enemy. Just as the Spirit of God may many times lead individuals to you who are demonized, and there's an engagement that's going to occur. And the Spirit of God might lead you right into the enemy's camp at times, and you'll wonder what you got yourself into. But that's where temptation and battle occurs. That's where you prove yourself on the battlefield of spiritual warfare, which is actually session 6. Right now, we have the tremendous capacity of the Spirit of the living God operating in and through us. So we must become very, very familiar with the operating work of the Spirit of the Lord as we see the Spirit of God operating in John the Baptist, in Jesus' life, in the early disciples' lives. We know right now that we cannot be effective in witness, in discipleship, in counseling, in deliverance, in inner healing, without being filled with the Spirit of God, clothed with the power of God, and experientially acquainted with the work of the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? Well, on your page 13 in session 5, we've already mentioned the operative power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And we have taken an encouragement for you to look over John chapters 12 through 16, because there you're going to see that Jesus promised the Spirit of Truth, who'd be with us forever. He talked about a comforter, a counselor, a helper, from the Greek word parakletos. referring to someone who's going to come right alongside. Matter of fact, the Greek construction that he used was another of the same kind. In other words, when the disciples were being told that he physically is going to leave, Jesus said he wouldn't leave them as orphans. Listen, in your counseling ministry, in your work, whether in the office or on the field, you're not left as an orphan. Another of the same kind. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is intimately present, inseparably present, unceasingly present, and we should have an unbroken fellowship with him in the context of our relationship, our worship, and our ministry to others. So as you read through John chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, you're going to see a tremendous revelation of the working of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer. The Spirit of God is going to be a teacher, a guide, cause you to remember. I mean, right in the sessions you have, there's the work of the Spirit of God to cause you to remember. You might have the sharpest mind around, but the great news is the Spirit of God has the sharpest mind and is able to bring the verses to you. And we're going to talk about the perception, the wisdom, his voice. He reveals, he opens in the midst of prayer, all the working. And so let's again acknowledge the Spirit of God in our lives so that we can allow him to work. And it is really an awesome and fantastic thing. There are times that I've been out witnessing and sharing Christ, or maybe somebody has brought a counselee to me that wasn't saved. And or on the field where there is somebody that's in trouble or pain or trauma, but they're not saved. And this is why we said at the very beginning that so much of this work deals with, and it will always deal with, the context of the great good news of Jesus Christ and salvation and the relationship that God wants to have with everybody you deal with. And that is for them to be saved and come to know him and be in relationship and be forgiven and be given the new nature in Christ and power for living. And that's where the greatest of help and peace and God's strength will come from. But in your perceiving and handling and listening to the issues, listen, I don't know how it is for you, but over the years, and I probably had thousands of people come in, both the offices and on the field, thousands. And so many times we're only beginning to see the surface of somebody's issues or problems. We don't see, you know, they reveal piece by piece and little by little. That's why I mentioned about scribing or mapping, writing down as you're listening to somebody. Or if you've prayed ahead of time before they came into your office and ask the Lord something about this person and said, Lord, just simply tell me about this person and what they're going to need, and let the Lord begin to give you preemption and insight. And that's what you begin to write down and begin to put down. And so when I'm listening to an individual, I'm writing things down because, you know what? It's just coming in. The Spirit of God's given me the biblical counsel. He's given me the insights and sequence of things to give. And as I am listening to them, stuff is coming in. And that is very vital because sooner or later, then I'm going to begin to pour it out and share with them and seek to give them the counsel of God, the ministry of Christ, and bring them the full blessing of the ministry of Jesus, as Paul talked about in Romans. Well, let's talk about a number of areas that I think are experiential. Very experiential when it comes to ministering to individuals. Under A, on page 13, we have, let me just mention again, the idea that, again, the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Now, again, he's in you permanently. There's a permanent presence of the Spirit of God, the living Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit. And you're a temple of the Spirit of God. And so it's very important for you to realize of this unceasing nature of the indwelling Spirit of the Lord. Romans 8 will tell you a lot about that indwelling of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer. But he is also your counselor, your comforter, and your helper. And that's why we've said in the past, especially out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, what? Comforts us in all our troubles, thlipsis, pressures, stresses. So the Spirit of God is there to be a paraclete, to come alongside, to counsel you, comfort you, help you. Can I ask you something? Can you name a greater counselor than the hands-on ministry of the Spirit of the Lord? So as you allow Him to speak to you in life and speak to you through the Word of God and minister to you, and when you go before the Father and you're praying about things and the Spirit of God speaks back, or there's a sense of the welling up of the Spirit of the Lord, like in John chapter 7, the welling up because of the rivers of living water, the sense of peace and His joy and presence in your life. And so that's very important as you are receiving from the Lord and also then going to begin to give to others. So you could be sure that as you step into that room or you're on the field, that you can count on the help of the Spirit of God, count on the work of the Spirit of the Lord in ministering to individuals. And I'm going to go over a few of those areas on page 13. A, Holy Spirit perception. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, talks about becoming a living sacrifice, no longer giving ourselves to the patterns of the world, so that what will happen in our own lives, something actually happens in a cognitive, mental, emotional, and physical level, literally. Because it says that in doing this, there's a transformation, a renewing of the mind. A renewing of the mind. Transformation is the word metamorphosis. A change occurs in you. As you surrender to Christ, as you yield to Him, as you open up to Him, as you put away the things of the world, the flesh and the devil, yourself, then you are making room for the Spirit of God to operate in your life. Because actually the Greek word for renewed is used in Titus chapter 3 in reference to the Spirit of God. And so when you read about that, it's not just a reference to the Word of God like many have said in the past. Biblically, it's a direct reference to the Spirit of God, so that when you literally from your will, in view of God's mercy, as you've read through the chapters, and God's salvation, in view of all that God has done, surrendering your life to Him, and no longer allowing any of the world to control or make the patterns of your practice in life, that you're ridding yourself of that and yielding to God and yielding to the Word of God and yielding to Him, literally has the idea that that the Spirit of God then is given the way to fill the faculties of your being, your conscience, your mind, your everything about your perceiving and discerning and scrutinizing and your judgment and discernment. Everything begins to be affected by the work of the Spirit of God. That's why I call it here Holy Spirit perception, because in Romans 12, 1 through 3, it says, when you do that, it says this, then you will be able to perceive, some translations say discern, some say scrutinize. Actually, it's the Greek word for meaning to test and approve something. To literally, it says you will be able to look at something and discern, scrutinize, have a perception concerning the will of God. And then it describes the will of God as good, pleasing, and perfect. So the idea here is in your surrender to the Lord, and you're allowing God to fill your life and your very faculties and the Spirit of God to literally just animate the whole construct of your being, that you should then have this ability to perceive with the presence of the Holy Spirit and see and discern things and understand things because of the indwelling operative work of the Spirit of God. And that's a powerful thing. Years ago, somebody wrote a book called ESP versus HSP, Extrasensory Perception versus Holy Spirit Perception. And I thought that was a tremendous book. And as a matter of fact, I ordered a couple of the used ones. Ralph Wilkerson from out in California wrote it years and years ago in the 70s to deal with the onslaught of the New Age movement then and psychics and all the different things that were coming up. And a great book just to really read over and just take a look at anyway. But Holy Spirit perception, you're going to have that in all of the counseling cases you deal with as a believer, and you're going to have the aid and working, and you're going to be able to see things. And some people are going to wonder, why, how can you see things that they don't? And again, people who are living with sin, sin darkens the conscience. Satanic oppression darkens the ability to perceive the will of God and the goodness of God and the direction of God. Now, my favorite verse again in Isaiah 48:17 about the Lord our God, our Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, teaches us what is best and leads us in the way that we should go. And we will be able to, by the Spirit of God on the inside of us, the faculties of our mind, our conscience, to perceive the will of God and even the sense of direction. And some have called this having an inward sense of a green light. Whatever you want to call it, I just simply say perception. The Spirit of God gives you this broader perception in seeing issues and problems, particularly relating to a direction for a person's life concerning the will of God. And the will of God is good, pleasing, and perfect. So perception is vital and is going to be occurring as you minister to people. You're going to be able to look at them sometimes and listening, and you're going to know what you need to tell them. You're going to know, you're going to be able to scrutinize and be able to say, no, this is what you need to do. And you're going to be able to say that because, again, of the perception of the Spirit of God that will always be in sync with the Word of God. You will never have perception outside the will of the Word of God. The perception the Spirit of God grants to you on the inward will always be in some people call it jive, be in sync with the Word of God. So it's very important that we understand that too. B, Holy Spirit wisdom, James chapter 1. Of course, here's a tremendous verse. How could we miss this? You know, if any of us, you know, if any of us are, you know, going through things or trials or whatever else, it talks about count it pure joy, all the things that are going to occur in our lives. You know, if we will just trust the Lord and allow perseverance to build character and for all of this to finish its work, God is at work in us. This is a part of sanctification. Sanctification isn't a matter of just saying, God, say, I want to get sin out of your life. It involves that, but it's about also involving for you to grow higher and grow larger and grow broader spiritually and to grow deeper in his love and his peace and his patience and his kindness. And so it's the work of God in that. And so in the context of this chapter, the Spirit of God simply is saying to the believer that if you lack wisdom in difficult situations, listen, ask God. I mean, imagine that. Ask God, who gives to each one generously, this overwhelming, generous work. I think it's a tremendous thing sometimes when you go out and you realize you've been given a generous portion of food. I don't know if you've ever gone somewhere and you come out and the plate is 10 times bigger than the food. I like it when, really, this one place we used to go, the steak that we would order would literally be off both sides of the plate. It was a very generous order. Well, this idea of generosity from God, the generosity of God, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to them that, you know, that ask? And so here we're told that if we have difficulties and problems in our own lives, let alone others, and as a counselor, we should know how to get our own help from the Lord and know how to seek the Lord for others when they're not able to for themselves sometimes. And we can simply seek the Lord for wisdom. He gives to each one generously without finding fault, without berating us, without telling us how stupid. Some people say to you, I've got a stupid question. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Sometimes we go to the Lord and we think, we got a stupid question, God. You know what? God's infinite. We're finite. We just need to come before the throne of grace. God calls us to come with confidence. Study the Greek word. It means unfettered access, freedom of speech, without any sense that we're going to be batted down. That God delights in us coming to seek. I loved it as a father when my daughter come at 5 and 6 years old and she runs up, we're outside somewhere, she's running up to ask about a bug or a flower or something else, and she seeks wisdom or asks about something. I had no problem. And I'm only just a peon of a man. And God is God, and God's generous. And so he's going to give wisdom. And what is wisdom? Well, it's defined in James also later on if you want to study that. Or you can go to the book of Proverbs to pack yourself with the wisdom of God in the book of Proverbs. And you'll continue to acquire. I mean, the Word of God is the language of the Spirit of God, correct? As the writer in Hebrews many times says, when he quotes the Word of God, he says, and the Holy Spirit says. And so the Word of God is the language of the Spirit, and it's a tremendous thing to study in Proverbs and get the wisdom of God. Now, the wisdom of God is about the how-to, the solving of things, practical things, how to live, how to respond, how to do things, and walk with the Lord. And so many people are going to need wisdom. And in your session, you might be writing down and mapping out scribing down notes concerning wisdom that's coming to you concerning the session as you're getting into it with somebody. Well, the third one is this: the Holy Spirit says. Now, in Acts 8:29, it clearly just tells us about Philip out in the evangelistic field. And in verse 29, somebody says this: the Spirit told him, go stand over there next to that chariot. Now, that's a tremendous thing. He could quote what the Spirit of God said. And all of us as believers should be able to do this. My sheep will know my voice, and another they're not going to listen to. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 10. So there should be an assumption concerning the voice of the Spirit of God. There's the living, written Word of God, always alive, always ready to be used. And then the Spirit of God can select verses. We can get perception by living and walking in the Spirit, and we get wisdom that God will shoot in during situations, in troubled situations, in trials and so forth. But there's also that sense where the Spirit of God just simply says something, when he just simply speaks to you. So I have no problem that when really the Spirit of God says something, to look at a counselee, to look at somebody who's in need, to say, the Lord's saying this. The Lord is saying, the Spirit of God is telling me this. Now, it might be that he's telling you something about that person's life. It might be that the Spirit of God is literally saying, they're not telling you everything. The Spirit of God might tell you, really clearly there's a demonic presence, and the function of that presence is deception and lying. So when I say the Spirit of God will aid you, that includes in the context of spiritual warfare, inner healing, whatever else. The Spirit of God may just simply tell you abuse, sexual abuse. The Spirit of God may simply tell you many things in a counseling situation that you're able to quote, just like Philip and others in the book of Acts receive from the Lord. So the Lord's talking, and you have the Spirit of God, the operating presence, and the Spirit of God can speak to you inwardly, and you can literally quote what he says to you. And again, he's never going to say anything outside the... You know it's the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is always consistent. His presence, the presence of Jesus. And always jiving with Scripture, in sync with Scripture. Never outside of it. And so just be looking for, at times, for the Spirit of God to... And you might do it after you've been through a session with somebody, and later as you're going over your notes concerning the next meeting, or prior to the next meeting, the Spirit of God might just say... And you'll have a quote, you can quote what he is saying and be able to speak that appropriately, as far as whatever he's saying. So very important to look what the Holy Spirit is saying to you about the situation and about the person and about all that's going on with it. Because the Holy Spirit knows everything. This is the great thing about God. He knows the deep things of God. He is omniscient, omnipresent. So we can rely on the Holy Spirit saying things into us concerning those that we're ministering to. Now, under D, the Holy Spirit reveals Luke 2:25-27. Here, Simeon, this is a tremendous thing. Here he is waiting for the consolation of Israel, referring to the Christ. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of God was upon him. The Spirit of God moved him. And the Spirit of God revealed to him that he wasn't going to die until he saw the Lord's Christ. And we have this tremendous work. This is where the Spirit of God grants us personal insight. I mean, literally, personal insight. That may happen in your life. You may be able to write down times where you know the Spirit of God has given you, has just simply revealed something about a situation in your life that you just know that you know that you know because the Spirit of God revealed. It might be that he's revealed, this is not the person to marry. This is not going to be the person you're going to marry. He might have revealed this is the person. Things like that, that will have, the proof will be in the pudding, that it'll be consistent, that it'll work out. But clearly, if you're familiar with the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God is upon you, just like there in Luke 2, if he's upon you, then you can know he's going to move you. He's going to move you. right to the right place. And he's also going to reveal to you. And that revelation that he might give might, be a revealing to you concerning a person's life, concerning what they're going through, concerning things that they're not telling you. Now, this is the true story. Years and years and years ago, I had a friend. He's just simply a church member, and he called me late one night because he came home and his wife, the whole house was cleaned out, and divorce papers were in the middle of the floor. And this was, they were both Christians. And as I began to talk to him, and then I finally got a hold of the wife, and we began to talk, and she agreed to a number of sessions for counseling. And we were into the second session when the Lord revealed to me very carefully, very clearly, though, that she was not here to receive any help, that she was using the sessions for the upcoming court case that she's already involved herself in and already planning, because she has no consideration of reconciliation, and she was just going to use coming to the sessions to help her in her court case. Well, I said, you know what I did? I just spoke it out. I said, you know what? The Lord just, you know, really revealing, the Spirit of God is revealing to me, and I looked right at the person that said their name. I said that you're not really here for help. You're not here to, there's no way that you're going to move towards reconciliation. You've made up your mind, and that you're only using these sessions to make it look good in court. And she boldly acknowledged it was true, and she got up and walked out of the room, and I've never seen her since. She divorced her husband and went on with her life, marrying another man. And that was a sad thing, and I saw my friend go through a number of tough issues, and but he's made it. With the Lord Jesus in his life, he's also made it, and continuing to walk many, many, many years later, now still in the Lord. So the Spirit of God will reveal things. We also want to say this in under F on page 13, the Holy Spirit opens. Now, if you go to Acts 16:14, this is a very, very beautiful picture of Lydia listening into a prayer meeting, and the Bible just says God opened her heart to respond to the message. Now, in the middle of ministering to people, many times inwardly I am praying, God, open their heart, open their mind, cause them to see what they've gotten themselves into. Cause them to see what their sin is doing to them. Cause them to see that you have a right and best way. So I'm praying inwardly many times as I'm actually talking to individuals, and then I will see where stubborn individuals, where those who didn't want to see a certain way, all of a sudden it seems like everything opened up, and now they are perceiving, now they're literally, their heart is open to what the Lord has to say to them. And this again is the operative work of the Spirit of God, especially if they're a non-believer. That's what happens in unveiling the Word of God. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And in that process, God opens people's hearts so they can respond and repent and believe in the Lord Jesus. And that's true about others and their counseling issues. Maybe some people have a tremendous bitterness problem. You know, there's this the issue of, you know, forgiving others. And sometimes God needs to open their heart, open their mind, to really move within them. Isn't it a tremendous thing that when you're ministering and counseling and talking to somebody, that the Spirit of the living God will also be operating? Listen, if you're ministering the truth, the Word of God, to individuals, then you can be sure that the Spirit of God is going to open their heart to respond to truth, to respond to instruction, to respond to correction. I mean, the Word of God is to be used in lives is to rebuke, to correct, to train in righteousness, to give comfort, to give hope. And the Spirit of God can open a person's heart and mind to really receive that instruction and take hold of it. And there's times you will just see, maybe there was stubbornness, maybe there was somebody who didn't want to do anything. And I've had times where people just sit there and just really praying, God, you know, open them up. You know, really show them, Lord. Because the Spirit of God's in the world to convince the world, to deal with them, convict the world, and convince. That's His operative work. He's out to draw people. He's out to convince people. He's out to convict people. We read the book of Acts. Paul says, God summons all men everywhere to repent. There's a solemn summons that comes from the Spirit of God for individuals to respond to God. And so you can be sure that God is going to be working in hearts and lives to respond to Jesus, to the Word of God, to the will of God, which is what? Life. And the will of God is good, pleasing, and perfect. God teaches what is best and leads us in the way that we should go. And that's what can occur in the counseling situation also. That is true in the area of dealing with hard case trauma issues, where God can open and lift traumatic memory, trauma issues. When someone says, I don't want to go there, the Spirit of God can help take them there. And listen, can help take them there gently. And what do I mean by that? Well, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it talks about if you see anybody who's caught in a particular kind of sin, they're in bondage over some sin issue they got themselves into, it says, you who are spiritual, go restore them. Restore them to Christ, to the Word of God, to walking in the Spirit, to joy, to peace. But it says, do this gently. And also, you're supposed to do it carefully. You won't be tempted with whatever they were tempted with. So there's a sense of that also. But to do it gently. Now listen, there are times when some people's issues are so painful or so dark, or they just don't want to first go there, or they begin to cry, or whatever's going on, and just pray the Lord's peace on them. Pray the Lord's presence and grace and mercies to guide them. Have them to pray out if they're a believer, to ask for God's help in being able to tell the story and to get to the area that needs ministered to. So that's very important, that sometimes even gently, as the Spirit of God opens things. Now I know that there's times, just like in the Old Testament when David had sinned in such a big way and he wouldn't say anything about it, he kept closed up, he was in agony for a long time until finally, and he didn't repent and he didn't deal with it, he didn't come before the Lord, he didn't, you know, until finally God sent Nathan to point to him and say, thou art the man. You know, to tell him, with a supernaturally led wisdom and just the tactic of God, to speak out that story and draw David into it and then look at David and say, you are the man. And there are times the Spirit of God will use you in that kind of format, and yes, that will open some people. All of a sudden to say this, the Spirit of God tells you and shows you, and God can open people wide when you know sometimes the Spirit of God gives you the secrets of their hearts. We'll talk about this in the area of gifting too. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will do that. And that miraculous work, that supernatural work of the Spirit of God is what many times moves them and opens them to deal with the issue, but deal with it because they know that only God is able to, you know, has been able to do this. That they perceive and they know, man, God is, on the one hand, to stubborn sin issues, coming and dealing with that and opening that. And on the other hand, of painful things and hurtful things. And even when it comes to those who are multiples, when you get the perception, when you finally verify and diagnose, which we'll talk about later, diagnosing a multiple and finally being able to say they are, there may be this sense of praying, and I use this many times, in praying that God would open them up on the inside to lift up personalities, a particular personality. If the Lord gave me the name of a particular personality, I will ask the Lord to cause them to come forward. And many times in that supernatural working, graceful working of the Lord, that's when personalities inside of those who are SRA victims and multiples, when individual personalities begin to interact and talk, because they see in the operation of a power greater than the dark side. Hallelujah for that too. Well, in 13, page 13G, I want to also mention the area of prayer. Two places, Ephesians 6:18, Romans 8:26-27. And in both places, it's referring to the work of the Spirit of God in helping us in prayer. Now, in Ephesians, it says, pray in the Spirit. Now, there's a difference between those, again, the idea of speaking in tongues, that's listed in 1 Corinthians 14. This is referring to praying. It's in the Greek, it's locative of spear. It's in the spear, the realm of the aid of the Spirit of God. To pray in the aid, direction, burden, empowerment, in the fire of the Holy Spirit. There's a book out that we used in one of our courses called Prayer on Fire. And if you go to the preemption website under the prayer sections, you'll find a review of that book. You'll also find a message in that area, Prayer on Fire. And I think it's very important for us to realize that a lot of our ministry with counselees, just like with Jesus, many times he just, you know, when it came to deliverance issues, it's not all talk. It is speaking out and being guided by the Spirit of God, even in warfare deliverance issues, which again, we'll talk about in the next session. But the Spirit of God, pray in the Spirit. Now, let me ask you something. Is that an experiential thing in your personal and daily life? How do you pray in the Spirit? Well, listen, how do you walk in the Spirit? How do you worship in the Spirit? It's the idea of in the sphere of the Spirit's presence, as I'm praying, at the same time, I'm looking for any other insight. As I'm praying, I'm at the same time open to the Spirit of God directing my prayers and literally even giving me the sentences and direction as I'm praying for somebody's life. Many times the Spirit of God will shoot in a verse of Scripture as we're praying. And so that's what I'm talking about when you begin to pray for somebody and you're praying and taking your time to both pray and speak out what you know from your heart's desire is there and based on the will and word of God. But in the same context, you're drawing on, you're listening to, you're praying in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And many times as you're praying that way, the moment you begin to pray out and you're praying in the guidance, direction, leading, and fire of the Spirit of the Lord, an individual can immediately, because there's a manifestation of the presence of God in that kind of praying. And an individual may feel that, which will be a good thing. And in that kind of Spirit-led praying, which involves manifesting the presence of God in that praying, if there's anything demonic, that may be manifested, and that's fine, because the Spirit of God is there to give you strength and boldness and fearlessness and so forth. So praying in the Spirit, and that just takes time. That takes time. How do I do that? And I've taught people over the years, I'm saying, listen, when you get down to pray, don't just pray 5 minutes. That's why I like using a piece of paper or a prayer map so that I can say, Lord, as I'm praying about, targeting subjects and focusing on areas, saying, Lord, what else? Is there any scripture about this? Holy Spirit, I mean, I'm literally asking. So as I'm praying about something, I'm asking the Lord to reveal something, to get perspective, see what the Holy Spirit says, what He'll reveal, that will occur in the actual praying on our daily level and also in the context of how many times have I preached sermons, thousands and thousands, where we invite people to come forward for prayer, for salvation, for healing, for deliverance, for many other things. And as people come, I'm relying on the Spirit of God as I begin to say, well, why have you come forward? And as I begin to minister to them and get a sense of the Spirit of God. And that's experiential, my friend. That's something that occurs as you do it again and again and again and again. And you become very familiar with the Spirit of the Lord in the middle of your praying. And that's very important. On page 14H, we also have the Holy Spirit power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Now listen, that is the purpose of the power of the Spirit of God. You cannot get away from that. Every single believer clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit is to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Literally, I would say a soul winner in the context of Acts. So that when Jesus said, you shall receive power, and when that power came, Peter began to preach Jesus and people got saved. As a matter of fact, you can look in the life of John the Baptist. He was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb and he was a witness to Christ. When Jesus goes off after the being anointed, he goes off to be tempted. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, he comes back full of the Holy Spirit. And according to Mark chapter 1, the first thing that he says is, repent and believe the good news for the kingdom of God. So he's unleashing the gospel, the message of good news. So there is a direct correlation between the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and being a witness and soul winner and proclaiming Christ in the context of fruitful soul winning. And that's true if you go through the book of Acts. 11 times there's a mention of individuals being filled with the Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 4, they prayed again after being threatened. They asked God to give them boldness, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit again. And even the building shook. And the result was they went out and started preaching the word of God with boldness and telling everybody about Jesus. And more people got saved. And of course, God did miraculous things in the context. Philip was filled with the Spirit of God. Stephen was filled with the Spirit of God. Barnabas was filled with the Spirit of God. When you go all the way to chapter 9 and see that Saul of Tarsus is encountered by God, he gets saved. 3 days later, another brother comes over and prays for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which he is instantly that moment. He's totally yielded. Fullness of the Spirit of God is, to me, an easy thing. Repent of all sin, yielding your life completely to Jesus, repent, you know, just asking and ask, because it's God's will. It's part of the plan. Where it's abnormal not to be clothed and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So, but the result, the overarching result, is a fullness of Jesus. A noticeable manifestation of spiritual presence and power, and a I call it a propensity, call it a compelling, call it a liberation from within to share Jesus Christ with anybody and everybody and want to get people saved. You cannot be filled and clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit without that being a high evidence of the Spirit's fullness in your life. You'll see that in the context of the book of Acts, 30-year history, that in every case of Spirit-filled people, they were soul winners, they were witnesses of Christ, and God worked even supernaturally among them in the context. So it's very important that we understand that, and that that in the as we're sharing with people in the office, sharing with people in the church, sharing and ministering to people in the field who have pain and problems and everything else, my brother and sister in Christ, leading them to Jesus is, matter of fact, the problems that they had and the providence of God bringing you to them in the context of the problem may have everything to do with bringing them to salvation. The prodigal son's life was down to zero, and his trouble and problems in life caused him to begin to move home, go back home. And there's where he was going to find the robe of righteousness and the celebration and his the ring and the shoes and so forth. The father that would run down and embrace him and love him. And as you're counseling with people, God the Father wants to come and embrace the prodigal and embrace even the backslider, because God loves and delights to have them back. And you got to know that he has not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world by his Son, the Lord Jesus. And that's what we're there to communicate and be an ambassador about. So I hope that as a counselor, I hope that as somebody who's ministering to individuals and their problems, and I've had people say in the past, listen, I want you to help me with my problem, but don't tell me about Jesus. I can't do that. I mean, I've done that. I've prayed for people and everything else with this sense of, you know, well, listen, I'm still telling you, Jesus is the answer. And still praying that God will deal with them concerning their need to come to Christ. So very important in the context. The Spirit of God, as Jesus said again, as you studied through John 12, chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, you're going to find a verse where Jesus says this, the Holy Spirit, he will witness, but you too must witness. The Holy Spirit is the great witness of Jesus. He points to Jesus, he reveals Jesus, he speaks about Jesus, he glorifies Jesus, and if you're filled with the Spirit of God, guess what? You're going to be glorifying Jesus, speaking about Jesus, you're going to be doing a lot of things to unveil the King of compassion, the King of comfort, the King of healing and deliverance, the King of setting hearts free and releasing prisoners. And that's a tremendous thing. Well, let's look at point two on page 14, charismatic gifts. And if you look over Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, I look at 19 charismatic gifts. But I want to mention a few of them here. Because giftings of the Spirit of God are something that operate in you in a more consistent way. Simply, in the area of giftings, number one, the Holy Spirit manifests. Number two, you either realize it by the manifestation or by the indwelling, unceasing, for example, teacher. You just have this drive to teach, and when you want to teach, and you're going to teach, and you start teaching, and the more you teach, the better you get at it, and people see that. So I'm just saying that the Spirit of God is the number one releaser and confirmer of gifts of the Spirit of God. Number two, others may give a confirmation to you about that. And number three, as you're operating in those giftings, they're fruitful. And four, it's okay to take the spiritual gifts tests. But I always say fourthly or lastly, take a spiritual gift test. I went online. You can Google spiritual gifts tests, and there's quite a few good ones on the web. And I took, I think, five different ones on the web one day. I wanted to see. I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, I want to see what they come up with. Because I kind of knew. I knew what my giftings were. And it was amazing. And no matter what individual group did the gift testings and how the questions were, you know, as I prayed and answered them correctly, they all came out with practically the exact same thing and showed me what I did have and what I didn't have in the area of giftings. Now, giftings, again, the Spirit of God unleashing a gifting of grace, a working of the Spirit of the Lord inside of you. In my view, it's another way of releasing some of the work of Jesus. And in a broader way. Now, we're all given the gift of the Holy Spirit and filled with the Spirit of God, and we're all to be a part of the great mission of Jesus reaching the world for Christ. But giftings come in to help us in that context of leading people to Jesus and also helping those who are in distress and troubles and trials. And in complex cases of satanic ritual abuse and multiple personality disorder, or DID, whatever you want to call it nowadays. So the word of knowledge, or the word of, let's start with A, the word of wisdom or message of wisdom, this is an instantaneous release of the Spirit of God giving a solution to a difficult situation. And that could occur as you're working with somebody, and maybe you've gone off to pray for wisdom, and boom, there's a shooting of a wisdom. Maybe you're working in a team situation, and as you're working with an individual, and maybe it's a husband and wife, maybe it's other issues, and they're just confounded. They don't know what to do. They're just, you know, whatever else about they can't see of any. You know, they thought of everything in the world. Have they? They're not omniscient. God has all knowledge. Matter of fact, in Colossians it says, "In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So if you are there to minister to somebody, God has such superior insight, such superior knowledge. We really come to recognize how lacking we are. Now, I've loved to read, and I've got thousands of books all around me and been to five, all kinds of schools and all that kind of stuff, and I still do it. I probably will never stop reading, studying, doing everything I can. But you know what? That also tells me, and the Word of God tells me, to rely on, the Lord's, supernatural workings. And I guarantee you, I do that all the time. So I'm looking for the Lord, you know, in a team situation for people who have different giftings and workings. And I didn't mention down here, and maybe we should have on here also, I'll mention it now too, the gifts of healings, which we'll put on there in a moment. But the word of wisdom, really, God giving instantaneously a sentence or just giving to you the solution to give to them. And all of a sudden, it just shoots up. It shoots out. You're giving them wisdom from God. It'll always correspond to the Word of God and may come with verses of Scripture. And I'm sure that in all charismatic workings and supernatural workings, and I say this true concerning dreams and visions and everything else, there's probably, if it's from the Lord, it'll have the presence of the Lord. It'll always jive and be in sync with the Word of God. And we'll probably always have Scripture that can be just laid out with it. Because whether it's a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, a prophetic word, or a dream, which we're going to talk about in here a minute, dreams, visions, things like that, that simply is, when it, especially dreams and visions, that is God communicating in pictorial form. We'll talk about that in a second. Under B, point 2 on page 14, the word of knowledge. Again, here's where you're given supernatural knowledge. You're given simply information about a situation you could not obtain on your own. Because God knows everything that's going on in a person's heart. Whether, again, there's many times, and I'll even seek this now more because it's happened again and again and again. Individuals who are multiples, I'll ask for the Lord to give me a name of somebody that needs to be ministered to first or spoken to first. When it comes to warfare stuff, I'll ask the Lord to give me, anything about the demons. Whether, you know, that could be discernment, but sometimes we just need knowledge of a situation. And God to impart a word of knowledge about something going on. Somebody comes in confused. They don't know what's going on in their own life. And all of a sudden, God gives you an instantaneous information that you could not have gotten any other way. And you share it with them. And all of a sudden, they're blown away. They're saying, how did you know that? What do you say? You say, man, the Lord just gave that. And the Lord's telling you. And they're like, then they go out and they confirm that. And they realize, man, God has broken in, and it moves them to action, respond, and again, in it, Jesus being glorified and seen in their lives and yours as awesome and great and powerful. I like the Gospel of Mark, how the people came. They are amazed. They're astonished. And I think that as we operate under the power of the Spirit of God in ministry, that we're doing it the way Jesus did it, and that people are going to be amazed at Jesus and what he can do. And they're going to put... Now, sometimes, like in Peter's case, when he went to Cornelius' household, they all fell down. You know, they're going to act like he's the great man. And some things can be so supernatural through your life by God's grace that people are going to look at you. And you need to do the same thing. You need to say, listen, I'm just a man. I'm just a woman. You know, whatever it may be. We're the vessels. That's all. And we're just servants of the Lord. Discerning of spirits under C, to where there's an instantaneous identification of the function of a demonic presence, whether oppression, whether attachment, whether attack. I mean, Jesus had this in the Lord's table. They were there and none of them knew. They're all eating and having fun or whatever else. And Jesus, all of a sudden, in the midst of all of that was going on, they were oblivious. And Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan has just asked to sift you as wheat. A church in the book of Revelation, Jesus had to tell them, hey, Satan is coming to put some of you in prison. They didn't know that. Jesus knows what the enemy's doing. He knows the Holy Spirit. The Lord knows. Satan can't hide from Jesus. Satan can't hide. No demon can hide. They can hide from us. They can play games with us. I mean, they can do all kinds of stuff. Unaided humanity, they can run circles around unaided humanity, especially if they're already into something deceptive, New Age and whatever else. But where the Spirit of God is and there's perception, and every believer has discernment, but the charismatic gifting of discerning spirits is a heightened ability that sometimes you can walk right into a session and or you can mark down on the piece of paper immediately. Before you even act at times. Now, if there's a manifestation, that's a different story. We'll talk about that in a moment. But there's times where you just act. And there's times where you wait a few moments as you're looking and ministering. But you may get a discernment of generational spirits, of influence, of attack, of things going on that they're not. They're just going through trouble. They don't even know how to discern. But if you get that, then you minister. Listen, I have met some people who have this gift of discernment that all of a sudden they walk into a room, they recognize there's a demonic presence over in that part of the room by that person, and they run out of the room. Or they run and go tell somebody else. Now, that is an incorrect response to the operation of that gifting. If you have that gifting and you recognize a demonic function, demonic name, demonic presence, or an assignment, or whatever it may be, immediately, you all of a sudden, a flash comes in, there it is, you know, that's the enemy. Well, then you know what? Respond with the authority of Christ. Bring in a brother or sister or two. Pray for the wisdom of God, and then pray in the Spirit of God and the leading of God when it comes to warfare, and listen to the Lord, but pray and deal with whatever's going on. And it may be some kind of situation where the demonic presence that was hiding manifests, throws the person to the floor. You command it to cease and stop. You command it to come to attention, and you deal with it. Everybody sees it and is blown away as the authority of Jesus is recognized, and the demon screams out and leaves, and the person is delivered. Man, there are people that had a presence, a darkness on them, all kinds of things they've said. And then, now listen, I'll have a one-hour session just on this principle coming up, and we'll talk more about it. Under D, prophetic, when the Lord gives a word of personal insight to a person's life. And it may be towards the end of sessions, and the Lord gives you and says, man, the Lord has a word for you. You know, you're going to be used in this ministry. The Lord's going to do this in your life. The Lord's going to do that. That's what was for Timothy. And he was to hang on to those prophecies that God had given him to be able to fight strong in his own ministry. That God gave him some personal word. And again, that word will correspond with Scripture and glorify Christ. And prove it to be itself to be fruitful if it's coming from the Lord. So a prophetic personal word about their life, their future, things like that can also come. Miraculous powers can be unveiled in counseling situations on the field or in the office. And that is just, again, the exertion of the power of God. It literally is about a felt presence that strikes them. They're overwhelmed. They're just, you know, that could be something so overwhelming that they may need. And they say, what is that? So they just are like, then you point to Christ, to the Word of God, the presence of God. And that helps to open them and to the Lord Jesus and astonish them to be yielded to the Lord. And under F, the area of healing, the gift of cures, is in the plural in the Greek. And that can be for inner healing, emotional healing, mental healing, physical healing. And that is where there's an exorcism. Now, all of us can pray for healing. We can anoint, like James chapter 5, anoint some people to be healed that way too. So that, you know, I'll have two discs just on the issue of healing. And so when it comes to healing, Jesus was the master at healing. There was no disease that could stand before him. There was no mental condition or any other kind of condition that could stand before him. And so we need to just, Lord Jesus, we surrender to you. Operate through us your awesome healing, because people, when they got healed so many times, most of the time, would turn to Jesus and be saved. And most of the people that got healed in the New Testament got healed before they got saved. And so you can pray for the healing of a non-saved person and pray for God to operate, which may in turn and most likely will cause them to turn to Jesus. And that's awesome. And this will involve inner healing as we pray for the God to come in, and whether speaking a word to past trauma or bringing literal felt presence to healing or causing them to bring it to the surface and surrender to him and him to take things away. Jesus brings healing. And we'll have some 2 hours of training just on that particular thing coming up too. And that's, again, the work of the Spirit of God in charismatic giftings through individuals, and great to have team workers work with us in these areas. Let's look at point 3, the last point on page 14. This is the extraordinary works of Jesus. Now, this is very important for us to take a look at, because he can do extraordinary things. Acts 19:11, where God did extraordinary things through Paul. Well, listen, we're in need of today, you know, that was involving healing and deliverance. And so we needed to simply say, God, you've done extraordinary things in the area of healing, deliverance, and in situations with all that's going on around us, the psych wards are packed, the jails are packed, people are hurting, so much going on, it's getting worse. God, bring extraordinary works. And just ask God to stretch out his hand and do this. Now, I love what they did in Acts chapter 4. They raised their voices together to God in prayer. They raised their voices together to God in prayer. And literally, the outcome of that was, Lord, you know, God, stretch out your hand to heal, perform miraculous signs and wonders in the name of your holy servant Jesus. And God filled them with the Spirit of God. And they went out ministering, and God did that. He healed people. Healings, that's a part of the anointed Christ. And anointed believers now, ministering out Jesus' works to people. Signs, wonders, and miracles can occur in the context of ministry. I mean, just incredible things, especially when there's really crazy stuff in people's lives and demonic stuff and things like that, so that God can break in and grant things and show. Now, you could just simply ask God to stretch out his hand. I do this so many times before going into a session or as I'm approaching a session out in the field. Stretch out your hands. We're praying this in the car before we do a reap trip and go to a certain area, because we're going to look for people and people that are really, that are in great need. And we know in the book of Acts that jail doors, like scripture says, opened all by themselves. Or Philip was transported. All kinds of things can occur, and we just simply need to be open that everything that God does jives with Scripture, glorifies Christ, brings the ministry of God in Christ to individuals. Pray for those miracles. Pray for those works in people's lives. Visitations, like, again, in a room where God just comes with great power. I associate this with revival, when the Spirit of God falls in power. On the field, in a group, maybe you're dealing with an entire family or a couple, and you're just praying. I remember one pastor grabbed the hand of a husband or wife. They just never could come to agree on the issue. Finally, he just prayed in the name of Jesus, and he prayed for them and came against things and prayed. And the Spirit of God fell upon them in power. They both began to weep. They both began to cry. They both repented and forgave each other and asked forgiveness. And in revival, that's what God does. He brings down the stubborn sin, and opens hearts and lives. those visitations. God visit them. God visit them. Now, dreams and visions are those kind of visions. I mean, works of the Lord too, the Holy Spirit. A vision from God, a dream from God. Let me just say this, whether you get them or they get them, there's times I've had people go away and say, God, just visit them with a dream. Like King Abimelech in the Old Testament, like in the New Testament book of Acts, in a real biblical, real God-given Holy Spirit dream, God is communicating in pictorial form. So it's a communication about God's will, God's person, God's presence, their condition, direction, whatever else, in pictorial form, whether in vision or in dream. And you don't have to take five books to explain things. When God gives it, God has a message. Let me just say that simply. And angels can help. And all I can say about that is just allow God to do what he's going to do. He did it in the book of Acts. And God just, Psalm 68, we ask God many times, especially in warfare issues, summon your power, God. Your chariots of God are tens of thousands and thousands upon thousands. And you may have to pray that God just send his angels and operate and allow things to happen in life. And we see this. Everything I see in the book of Acts, for me anyway, is on the table now. What God can do now. So remember Saul of Tarsus, the Saul to Paul conversion. In the hard case of a Christian-hating, Christian-persecuting individual, stubborn person, the prayers were up, and Saul of Tarsus is stricken by the presence of God, Christ himself, and he's brought to his knees, and he surrenders and calls him Lord. 3 days later, with scales on his eyes as he's waiting, a brother is sent. He's filled with the Spirit of God, and to know God's will, the scales fall off the eyelids. And he begins preaching and sharing Christ. And then the scripture says in Acts 9:22, he grows more and more powerful. Now that's a powerful thing. That's the way God operates in lives. Or in Mark chapter 5, where we see this transformation of the authority and deliverance and working of Jesus. Well, under the guidance of the Spirit of God, let him guide you, let him direct you, let him lead you. May your faith expand based on biblical instruction, truth, models, examples. And may God do the same work, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, to the glory of Christ and to the good of people. Hey, this is Russ, ShadowTheDarkness.net. I will see you in the next session.